On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
That means it's Tech Talk, and Doug Swinhart joins us on the program. And if you want to visit with Doug about computers, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call the program or text the program, 651-461-9226. Doug, good to visit with you on this lovely day. It is just spectacular.
Oh, I hope it's not a tease. I hope it's not a tease. Because, you know, I actually have my office door open about inch and a half. It's just gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
Yeah, it is one of those where you want to get a little fresh air. And I was outside, and as I mentioned, cleaning up after the dog and didn't even need a coat on. And my daughter was outside, and if you're able to find a spot out of the breeze, and there is a little breeze today, that sun is so warm, it just feels great.
That's why we live in Minnesota, Steve, the changing of the seasons.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to have the bad to have the good.
Yeah, it is February. We could get a little rain midweek, maybe a little snow, and quite a bit more snow the way it looks up north. All right, Doug, let's jump to the phone lines. And by the way, if you want to call the program, here's the number again, 651-461-9226. Let's go to Hetty. Hetty's on the air in Minnetonka. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hetty's been trying to get a hold of me a couple of days, and I got a construction thing going on, so I didn't get a chance to give her a call back. What's going on, babe?
Oh, good grief. I'm a mess. My computer is a mess. I'm a mess. I just got out of the hospital after several weeks on my deathbed. You don't want to know about all that.
Did you ever get a chance to try T-Mobile Internet? Because I think that's going to solve a lot of your problems.
I did not.
I should give you a call on Monday and talk to you about getting T-Mobile. They're hitting like 90 megabits per second down on a low point. They're really, really getting rave reviews. And I think you start out for about $55 a month with no contract. It's a no-lose deal.
Yeah, Hetty, so you're having internet trouble?
Oh, she has for last 3-4 years.
All right. Hetty, we'll put you on hold, and I want to visit about that because we have fiber, and because I work from home sometimes, my wife works from home sometimes, and my youngest daughter works from home 100% of the time. We have fiber coming into the house, and then we have T-Mobile Internet. And just to quickly explain to people what this is, and it's available now from Verizon, I think AT&T does. What it is it takes cellular signals, and you get an appliance, and this thing's about the size of a coffee pot, if you will. Here's a good way to describe it. Think of a half gallon of milk. It's about the size of a half gallon of milk, and you plug it in, and it trains up to the cellular signals in your neighborhood and converts it to a Wi-Fi network in your house. Now, you can hardwire to it as well. It has been rock solid stable, and we have it in the house as a backup, as kind of a plan B, because we can't be without internet if there is problems with the fiber. It has been really good. I have been thrilled with it.
Yeah. They have here's what's happening lately with T-Mobile.
Yeah.
They are reporting typical download speeds range from 133 megabits to 498 megabits per second, depending on your plan and your location. So, you know, when 5G first came out, people were, you don't have any distance, you don't have any clarity, it's got too much noise, just this and that. But they've got it. Now, some users are actually reporting speeds exceeding 830 megabits per second. Now, your fiber optics, your fiber cable, I am just chomping at the bit waiting for quantum fiber to get to my house. I think they're a couple blocks away right now. They have plans of a gigabyte and 2 gigabytes, and that's symmetrical. That's up and down, and that's why what your experience is, Steve. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I think you have almost the perfect situation. You've got fiber, high-speed internet on fiber, and you've got this backup system that could easily, you could say it's probably better than most people's upfront number one internet service. Yeah. They're doing really well, especially for the price.
Yeah, and the thing is, what a lot of people are looking for when it comes to internet and Wi-Fi isn't so much the upload speed, it's the download speed. You go out, correct, you're looking for something, you want to watch video. You're looking at something else. But particularly for streaming video, you know, the download speeds regularly, 200 megabits per second down. Upload speeds I've found to be slower, but once again, it depends on your location. But you can go, depending on who your provider is, maybe you work with AT&T on your phones on top of that, or if you have T-Mobile or Verizon, depending, you know, all the biggies now offer these, that you can get a deal by adding this to your plan, and they'll send you the appliance. And believe me, this has fallen off a rock easy. You get it out of the box, you plug it in, you follow the instructions, and then there's a little built-in password on the back of the machine, and you can change that if you want. It is super easy to get it up and running. I mean, and no wires. You don't need to wire it to anything. It just sets up a little Wi-Fi network in your house. To me, it is really, really slick. And by the way, if you want to visit the program, 651-461-9226. It is 321 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Doug Swinhart joining us. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come right back here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
And we are back here on Tech Talk. And just quick follow-up on those 5G based, and once again, Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, all of those products available. You can just go to their sites. If you're a customer already, it's even easier. And just type in your address and see if it's available in your neighborhood. It really is easy. And Doug, you pointed out, they send you the equipment and there is no contract. Right. You know, you can give it a try and see how it works.
And if you really like it, you can take a 5-year contract for unlimited data with no increase in price. I think that's a bit long in this business. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know if you heard, Steve, but apparently Starlink pulled everything out of Europe. Or he threatened to. I'm not sure if it all happened, but yeah, that was big news for a couple of days. I would think it would be all over the news if he actually had done it. But that's crazy if he just even mentioned something like that. Yeah. And apparently he did.
Yeah, and Starlink is another option as well, low-level satellites. Yep. There's growing competition. Amazon's going to jump into that space as well. There are a lot of options for internet. But right now, that little 5G appliance, it is really hard to beat. And like I say, it is so simple to set up. All right, let's go to the text line, and we got a lot of stuff there. Doug, you've talked about Linux for years. I've tried several times to install it. Can you explain the best way to go about getting Linux up and running?
Yeah. First of all, you have to determine if your computer can boot off a USB or a DVD. And you have to go into the BIOS, and you have to have that, your BIOS. It's your pre-boot. You have to have that set up so you can boot off the USB. Now, most computers, if you just run a Google search, say, how can I access the BIOS, all in caps, to boot off such and such a machine? It'll tell you. It's got F10 you tap, or F2, or F1, or whatever. Then you get a select menu. Select that USB, and you run Linux. Now, to install Linux on a USB, whatever distribution you want to go with, you will download what's called a .iso file. They are as common in Linux as PDFs are with throughout the rest of the planet. And that they're usually 2 to 3.5 gigabytes when you download them. You just get I think probably one of the easiest things to do would be Balena USB. Just drag the file over on the USB drive that you've got in your drive, and it just does it. It creates an automatic bootable drive. That's probably the biggest problem that people have. If I'm going to put something together for somebody, I'll use a program called Ventoy, V-E-N-T-O-I, and I create a USB drive, and I can have multiple operating systems within a folder, and then if I want to add one, I just drop that ISO into that folder on that USB. So sometimes I can send somebody 4, 5, 6, 7 different distributions, and they can take a test drive. Almost every distribution out there, most of them that I use anyway, if you put that USB drive in and you boot and you select that particular distribution, you can test drive. Now, keep in mind, when you're running off your USB, you're not going to have near the performance that you will have when you put it on your hard drive and let it become your system, operating system. But it will at least give you a chance to play with it and get a feel for it. And even with Linux Mint. Linux Mint has several desktops. I prefer XFCE. It's a flat desktop. It's fast. It's clean. And people always say, well, that's for older computers. Well, yes and no. I like the performance factor. I don't like to wait for things. So this is just nice and clean. Of course, Cinnamon is world-renowned desktop. It's a little bit fancier. Got transparencies and some animations when you're working. If you like eye candy, that probably would be the way to go. And another one that's very, very stable is Mate, M-A-T-E. Wonderful, wonderful looking desktop. Now, if you're going to look at what's called the KDE plastic desktop, I would suggest a different distribution from Linux. You can run it, but it's just not near as clean. And they will tell you that themselves. So it's lots of choices. Take your time. And just let me know, Steve, if you need help, and we'll get you up and rolling. No question.
All right, quick break. We have more Tech Talk coming up with Doug here on the program. And you can reach us. It's easy, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And that is good for a call or a text, computers, hardware, software, whatever. One of the other things I want to run by Doug is security cameras. And Savannah Guthrie's mother was abducted a couple of weeks ago, and they were able to get into the security camera and get some images on who apparently was involved in her abduction and her disappearance. And it brings up the topic of security cameras and, are they secure? Because there's been concern about some of these cameras that they're easy to hack and people can get into these and spy on you, etc. We'll get Doug's thoughts on that before we say goodbye today here on News Talk. E3O WCCO.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
It is Tech Talk, and you're always welcome to join us on the program, 651-461-9226. There was a controversial ad that aired during the Super Bowl, and we're going to get into that story, and security cameras have moved front and center since Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy Guthrie, was apparently kidnapped in her home in Tucson, Arizona. And it's been a couple of weeks now, and the search and the investigation continues, but they were able to get a hold of security camera footage showing who may have abducted her or been involved in the kidnapping. So certainly security cameras front and center in the wake of the Super Bowl, and certainly the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie down in Arizona. And Jonathan, you talked about a story during the break, and why don't you lay that on us, and maybe Doug can comment on all of this.
So the last couple of weeks I've filled in, and usually during the Lake Show, which I usually fill in during the week at times, there is a segment that we do looking at headlines beyond what the big news of the day is. And there were a couple stories the last couple weeks that came up involving Flock Safety, which is a company that is collecting data from roadside cameras that are placed in cities and possibly on homes. Now, the first one was Brooklyn Park had decided to cancel their contract with Flock after what's been going on with Operation Metro Surge, some of that stuff happening in the city. Now, after last Sunday's Super Bowl ad, it looks like Ring and Amazon, who now owns Ring, is going to nullify their involvement with Flock Safety. And they hadn't got this into the public sphere yet, but they had talked about this safety feature that could, I guess, it would connect, it would coordinate camera footage from different cameras in a neighborhood, not just your own, but your neighbors down the street, your neighbors up the street, and it would pull it together in case of, let's say, lost pets.
Oh.
Have you heard anything about this? And what's your thought on, is the technology in the surveillance area getting a little bit too far with what's happening in the wake of this? These items, these bits?
This isn't really, in my mind, this is kind of the caution we should all take when we go out and we look at security software. I don't want anything to do with, I have to go online to change settings. Everything I do has to be saved up in the cloud. I want it local. And in fact, I kind of keep an eye on the technology here because I was really upset that here we're all running around with 2.4 gigahertz. Well, that's easy wireless to just park in your car in somebody's driveway and connect. It really is that simple with universal plug and play. But today, you can actually purchase a Wi-Fi window cam. You're going to love this. $50. You stick this thing to your window, and it shows up on your iPhone, and it's running Wi-Fi 6 at 2.4 gigahertz. Everything's local. And they're on eBay right now. I love that. I have not heard too much about Amazon and Ring about this Flock thing, but this Flock thing, I can see where this is part of the problem with integration. Well, somebody lost their dog. Well, we'll just flip on all the cameras and we'll find that big bad boy. Yeah. I don't know where that starts before you get people's permission to use their device. If I was working at Flock Safety and they said, this is what we're going to do, I'd say, are you crazy? Think about this a minute. What if it was your house? You know, I understand that you want to keep everybody safe and secure and you never want to lose a pet or a child or any of that kind of thing. But there comes a point where you just can't do that kind of big brother without mentioning it. I think this is this is serious. I wish I'd heard about this. I've been looking online. I still can't find a whole lot about it.
Yeah,
but that was in Brooklyn Park, huh?
Well, and the thing is that in communities, there are traffic cameras, for instance. Mm-hmm. And then individuals have cameras. And I would assume the dream of law enforcement is that, you know, in the interest of public safety, we need access to all of these cameras, and we want to monitor these cameras. Now, it's one thing if you're driving on the street and they have cameras pointed at an intersection or at a roadway. I get that. That's public space, and they need to monitor that, the traffic cameras. But I think, you know, the big stories is what these cameras are gathering, and then who in turn is using that information? Are they using that to look for people? Are they using it to look for certain people? You know, at what point in time, who has access to this, and how are they using it? Now, when you get closer to home and you're installing a security camera like a Ring camera, a lot of people have surveillance cameras. Maybe they have a camera in the baby's bedroom or the kid's bedroom to monitor things.
Mm-hmm.
The concern has always been, and we have talked about it over the years, how you set that up and how you password protect that is extremely important.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
Those cameras, as you pointed out, can be easy to hack if you're not careful on how you set it up. Dual authentication, good passwords, etc., etc.
Well, and I would say this, too. If you're going to be doing some configuration like that within your home, you absolutely have to learn about UNPNP, Universal Plug and Play. You can shut that off in almost every router, every modem. You don't want Universal Plug and Play if you got some camera in your child's bedroom. You just don't. My big thing with this thing being, oh, it's all Bluetooth. Oh, it connects right up to your phone. Well, you know, there has to be an element of security here. And I told Nancy, I don't even want a security system until I can have the whole thing in my house cabled, wired. Power over Ethernet, PoE. That, and in addition to that, there's going to have to be some Wi-Fi somewhere. There just has to be. Then I don't even want a security system until they tell me that it's Wi-Fi 6 and above. I really don't. Yeah. That's secure. That's really where we take a stand and say, we're good to go. And mix it up. Don't put it on the same IP address as your normal local area network. Keep it all separate. They don't need to know that your family, because it's coming over your TV or whatever, they don't need to know that security camera is your house. Hey, there's things that you can do to obfuscate the whole process of what you're showing and what you're displaying. I heard a statistic a number of years ago, it was right after they put all the cameras in St. Paul and Minneapolis for the, was it the Republicans or Democrats? Republicans. So anyway, when you leave your house now in the Twin Cities and you drive 10 miles, you've been on camera 35 times on average. Yeah. What? And I don't think Minneapolis-St. Paul is any different than any place else in the U.S. at this point.
Well,
even
yeah.
Small towns have moved to this.
Just about every intersection and on the highway. There's a great story about surveillance cameras and the access to those. And the metro area network that MnDOT operates are their traffic cameras. And you'll see them
gorgeous.
On TV.
Oh, it's
and
gorgeous.
Traffic reporters. Well, my daughter got rear-ended on the freeway. It was kind of a stop-and-go situation, and she didn't get hurt. Nobody got hurt. Little damage to the car, no big deal. But she called me and said, you know, what should I do? And I said, number one, stay in your vehicle. Mm-hmm. Number two, call law enforcement and wait for them to show up. Don't be standing around outside on the freeway, even if it is stop-and-go. And then I said, I'll try and find you. I almost instantly found her on one of the traffic cameras and was at real time. And I said, I found you. I see you on the side of the road. Just hang out there in the vehicle and wait for help to arrive. Long story short is that network continues to grow. And I think as a society, big picture here, how is that stuff used? Who's monitoring it? You know, and in what way are they using it? Now, it's handy to see, oh, there's a traffic incident, we see what's going on, so on and so forth. But as that network grows in this never-ending surveillance, it starts becoming something out of a book by Orwell.
Right.
You know, where you are being under constant surveillance. Now, some people would say, okay, but if I'm not doing anything wrong, why do you care? Well, I think we should.
And well, I think we should, too.
Think about constant surveillance when out in public.
And here's the thing, too, Steve. Were you able to get a copy of that accident from them?
No. I just want to make sure she was safe and said,
yeah.
Hey, your car is drivable. The person who hit you, their car is drivable. When the state patrol showed up, they did a quick exchange of information, and then the patrol said, hey, let's keep moving here. We don't want anybody to get hurt.
Of course.
And it all worked out.
Yeah. My opinion is this, that if you have that camera there and I come and I say, I'd like a copy of this because, and they can see that you were on there, they got to give it to you. And the flip side of this is, yes, law enforcement would just love this to be able to say, well, we got his location from his smartphone. We've got him on camera now in that area. Well, obviously he is a suspect. And I actually like that as much as everybody else. Now the flip side. I get pulled over as a senior, and the police officer doesn't, maybe not having a good day or something, and he decides to jack me around. If I pull out my camera, my phone, it is illegal for him to tell me I can't video that. But most of them will just stop the interview right there. I think it's got to work both ways.
Yeah.
If you're going to put my face and my situation on that film, on that video, that digital recording, I want a copy. If I ask for it, you got to give it to me immediately. I should be able to download it, not even bother anybody.
Yeah. You know, Doug, final thought before we break on security cameras. Do some reading and research on making sure you're buying a security camera that protects your security. We'll just leave it at that. Fair enough. All right, quick break. 13 minutes now in front of 4 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. All right, Doug, always a good topic here on Tech Talk. You have an old machine you want to get rid of, you want to recycle. What is the best way to make sure that hard drive is clean before you drop it off somewhere so you have no personal data on that device, whatever it is, phone, tablet, laptop, desktop, whatever? How do you clean it up?
Yeah, you know, there's a number. I mean, numerous software packages that will wipe your hard drive automatically. But if you're looking online for one of those, and there's plenty of them that are free, you want to make absolutely certain that it clears the data to government standards. One thing the U.S. does do really well, and that's shred the data on a hard drive. It will rewrite the hard drive with zeros and ones or X's and O's a minimum of 3 times to get rid of it. And it's going to take a little time to do that. That's one method. Your next method is just pull the hard drive out and put it in a drawer somewhere. If you got that, it has never left your house. Hard drives are cheap and you're not going to take anything away, especially if you're taking it to the recycle center. Or if you don't want to keep it, pull out a drill, put a really nice bit in there, and just drill a couple holes through it. It's done. Or take it apart. They're kind of interesting to look at, but not much to them. And if you take it to a reputable recycler, and we've got a whole bunch of them here in the Twin Cities. I like this this Geek Recycling in Minneapolis as of late. But they will give you a certificate, and they'll wipe it while you wait. And they've got some pretty fast products as well. It will only clear the data as fast as your computer will run, unless they actually take it out and put it in their machine, but then you're still tied to their computer. But it will be done. There's no question in my mind of that. This is absolutely a real important factor that people need to take heed of is the data on your hard drive. You got to preserve that, you got to protect it, or you got to completely wipe it out once you've got that copy moved to someplace else. And you should have it on an external at your house and another computer up in the cloud and at least 3 copies,
yeah.
Even if it's old, 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 old. But people have been taking pictures now, and this is common. They may have 40 years of digital pictures and never taken a backup. Consider that a minute. Now you're a grandma or a grandpa. That's when these pictures really pay. this is Johnny and Susie and all this, right? You know what I'm talking about. So, but the thing is you got to protect that data. You spent all that time building this beautiful picture library that you have, precious moments when you were on vacation and anniversaries and birthdays and graduations and confirmations, and the list goes on. You know it does, Steve. So it's just these are precious moments that you can actually relive when you get to be a senior in your golden years. And to just have it gone, you're going to scratch your head and go, why didn't I take better care? You know, just do it. Just take care of it. But when that computer's done and you know you don't want it, you don't want the hard drive, make sure that data is gone. Taken completely off that. Not that difficult.
Yeah.
Do a little reading on the internet. Search for a decent software package and let the good times roll.
Yeah, and when it comes to particularly photos and videos on your phone, I get those backed up on iCloud automatically. Mm-hmm. And it's important to check that, make sure it's working and it's doing backups. Sometimes they'll go in there and say, for whatever reason, iCloud hasn't backed up in 2 weeks. And you can fix that and go into settings. I would monitor that, particularly if you have an automatic backup. You need to check on that. But I think with photos and videos, because they can take up so much room, whether it's onboard your phone or tablet or in your computer, go in and weed out the dupes, because, you know, it isn't film anymore. You're not paying for film or developing. You know, you can take unlimited photos, and there's a lot of duplicates. I use my phone all the time at work to say, hey, I need to take a photo of this. I need to order more of this. I need to get a hold of a vendor and talk about that. But I don't need those photos long term. So I'm always going in when I have a spare moment and just delete a bunch of old photos or even videos that I'm not going to need long term. It's important that you're only backing up things that you need.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, and part of the problem, I think, with pictures and videos, especially pictures, is because we're not paying for film. Well, we'll take 5-10 pictures of every shot.
Yeah.
Well, and then we don't take the time to organize and clean, so it's been stamped with a file name given by the camera or whatever. And now you go through, you go, whoa, what happened here? And the amount of data becomes so insurmountable that people just, they can't picture ever getting through it, and they probably won't. It really is a conundrum. It's a catch-22, if you will. Yeah, it no charge, but you're going to pay one way or another. You might as well do the work right away, get it done, stay on top. I bet you're doing that too. You go through these pictures a couple days or a week or so after you've taken them, and you rename them, put them under different dates, whatever you do to structure it, and then you get your backups, make sure your iCloud's running properly. And I would also suggest, Steve, that, you know, now that you're playing around with Proton, their smallest accounts give you like 500 gigabytes in the cloud, and it's protected with Proton security. And people are complaining about that lately because they think they're becoming commercial. They are not. They're right on track as far as I'm concerned. But who knows what brings tomorrow? It's craziness about this business. But at any rate, take good care of your property. It's really more important on the digital side today than it has been even with the paper, even with the regular photographs. That's my opinion.
Yeah, before we run out of time, we've only got about a minute left on the phone. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you have a Windows machine and you haven't done it, Pervasor, run it.
Oh.
You can get it for free. You can get the pro version and spend a little money. If you have a Windows machine, it's a privacy tool. It is a tool that's going to clean up your machine and keep it running well. Pervazer. Doug, real quick, what does it do? Why is it a big deal?
Yeah, Pervasor is a cleaning utility,
yeah,
and an optimizing utility for Windows that Windows should have it built in. Seriously, Windows just came out with another update and it was a disaster, an absolute disaster again. And they're sending out patches, and they're trying to create this. But if you're, especially today, if you're in Windows 10 or 11, you absolutely have to have Pervasor.
Yeah, Pervazer. All right, Doug, we're out of time. What's your phone number and email?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin@wccotech.com. admin@wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. Thank you, Steve, and have a great rest of your weekend.
Yeah, you as well, Doug, and happy Valentine's Day to all. We have the news. We have the weather coming up. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney, and then we'll talk a lot of sports, the Olympics, PGA Tour at Pebble Beach, much, much more here on CCO.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.